ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2। महाराज निमि मीट्स द 9 योगेंद्रस। टेक्स्ट 23। अव्याहत इष्टगतयः सुर सिद्ध साध्य गंधर्व यक्ष नर किन्नर नाग लोकान् मुक्ताः चरन्ति मुनि चारण भूतनाथ विद्याधर द्विज गवाम भुवनानि कामम। अव्याहतेष्टगतयः सुरसिद्धसाध्य गन्धर्वयक्षनरकिन्नरनागलोकान् मुक्ताश्चरन्ति मुनिचारणभूतनाथ विद्याधर द्विज गवां भुवनानि कामम्। अव्याहतेष्टगतयः सुरसिद्धसाध्य गन्धर्वयक्षनरकिन्नरनागलोकान् मुक्ताश्चरन्ति मुनिचारणभूतनाथ विद्याधर द्विज गवां भुवनानि कामम्। अव्याहतेष्टगतयः सुरसिद्धसाध्य गन्धर्वयक्षनरकिन्नरनागलोकान् मुक्ताश्चरन्ति मुनिचारणभूतनाथ विद्याधर द्विज गवां भुवनानि कामम्। अतेष्टगतयः सुरसिद्धसाध्य गर्वयक्षनरकिन्नरनागलोकान् मुक्ताश्चरन्ति मुनिचारणभूतनाथ Vyadharadvijagavam bhuvananikam. Avyahatesta gatayah surasiddha sadhya. Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan. Muktascharanti municharana bhutanatha. Vidyadharadvijagavam bhuvanani kamam. Avyahatesta gatayah surasiddha sadhya. Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan. Muktascharanti municharana bhutanatha. Vidyadharadvijagavam. Mataji, anyone? Avyahatesta gatayah surasiddha sadhya. Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan. Muktascharanti municharana bhutanatha. Vyadharadvijagavam bhuvanani kamam. Avyahata, unimpeded. Ishta gatayaha, in moving as they please. Sura, of the demigods. Siddha, perfected mystics. Sadhya, sadhyas. Gandharva, heavenly musicians. Yaksha, associates of Kuvera. Nara, human beings. Kinnara, minor demigods, who can change their form at will. Naga, and serpents. Lokan, the worlds. Muktaha, free. Charanti, they travel. Muni, of the sages. Charana, angels. Bhutanatha, ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Vidyadhara, Vidyadharas. Dvija, Brahmanas. Gavam, and of the cows. Bhuvanani, the worlds. Kamam, however they want. Translation: the nine Yogendras are liberated souls who travel freely to the planets of the demigods, the perfected mystics, the sadhyas, the heavenly musicians, the yakshas, the human beings, and the minor demigods such as the kinnaras and the serpents. No mundane force can check their free movement. And exactly as they wish, they can travel as well to the worlds of the sages, the angels, the ghostly followers of Lord Shiva, the Vidyadharas, the Brahmanas, and the cows. This verse does not have a purport, and the next two also do not, so I will simply read the verses and the translations. Ta ekadani mehe satram upachagmur yadrichaya vitayamanam rishabhihi ajanabhe mahatmanaha. Once in Ajanab, the former name of the earth. They came upon the sacrificial performance of the great soul, Maharaj Nimi, which was being carried out under the direction of elevated sages. Tan drishtva surya sankashan mahabhagavatan ripa yajamano jnayo vipraha sarva evo patisthare. My dear king, seeing those pure devotees of the Lord who rival the sun in brilliance, everyone present, the performer of the sacrifice, the brahmanas, and even the sacrificial fires, stood in respect. Videhastan abhipretya narayana parayanan pritaha sampujayam chakre asan sthan yatharhataha. Translation. King Videha Nimi understood that the nine sages were exalted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, overjoyed at their auspicious arrival, he offered them suitable sitting places and worshipped them in a proper way, just as one would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purport is long, so we'll be reading half the purport, the first half today. The word yatharhataha is significant here. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti, the word yatharhataha means yathochitam, or according to the proper etiquette. It is clearly mentioned here that the Navayogendras are Narayana Parayana, exalted devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayana or Krishna. Therefore, the word Yatharhataha indicates that the king worshipped the nine sages according to the standard Vaishnava etiquette. The etiquette for worshipping exalted Vaishnavas is expressed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with the words Sakshadharitvena Samastashastraihi. An exalted Vaishnava, being totally surrendered to the will of the Supreme Lord, is taken to be a transparent medium for the Lord's will. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated that even by a moment's association with the pure devotees of the Lord, one can achieve all perfection in life. Therefore, as indicated by the word Pritaha, King Nimi was overjoyed by the auspicious arrival of the sages, and therefore he worshipped them just as one would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although impersonalist philosophers claim that every living entity is equal to God, they callously step over the heads of their so-called spiritual masters and freely speculate on the nature of the Absolute, giving their own whimsical opinions in defiance of the impersonal whims of their so-called gurus. In other words, although Mayavadi impersonalists claim that everyone is God, they ultimately show an offensive mentality toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead in rejecting the reality of his eternal form and pastimes. Thus, they unwittingly belittle the eternal position of all living entities by denying their eternal personality and activities in the kingdom of God. The impersonalists, through their mental concoctions, try to minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities who are part of him, reducing them theoretically to a formless, nameless light, which by their concoction they claim to be the Absolute God. The Vaishnavas, however, welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead and easily understand that the unlimited Supreme Personality has nothing to do with the conditioned, limited, mundane personalities we find in the material world. The impersonalists arrogantly assume that there could not be any transcendental or unlimited personality beyond our present experience. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back again in Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir amongst all of you. The topic that is going on now is a discussion between Narad Muni and Vyasadev. I beg your pardon, Vasudev. Narad Muni, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, was always eager to get the association of Krishna. And because Krishna was living most of the time in Dwarka, so Narad Muni also came to Dwarka and stayed there for an extended period of time. Taking advantage of this opportunity, Lord Krishna's father, Vasudev, approached Narad Muni and inquired from him submissively about spiritual topics. This is, in fact, the duty of every human being. We should seek out the association of great saintly people and inquire submissively from them about topics that are really important for our spiritual development. This is called Saddharma Pricha. Pricha means inquiry. So we should approach such personalities to inquire about Saddharma. There are varieties of dharmas. There are ordinary dharmas, more elevated dharmas, and there is also the topmost dharma. So that topmost dharma is called Bhagavat Dharma. It is also called Sanatana Dharma. And that is the one dharma that Krishna speaks about in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, when he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha, where he says to Arjuna, give up all varieties of dharma and surrender completely unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So when Krishna speaks of Arjuna giving up all varieties of dharma, we can understand that he is referring to all those varieties of dharma which are not the topmost. There are many, many secondary or lower types of dharmas, some of which can be on the material platform. But he says, giving up those dharmas, you have to accept the highest dharma, which is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, which is to come and take shelter of me exclusively. So the process of taking exclusive shelter of Krishna in devotion is that real Sat Dharma. Sat means eternal. So that eternal Dharma is devotion. Sanatan Dharma also means eternal Dharma. It is also called Bhagavad Dharma because this Dharma is in relation to Bhagavan. And it is not in relation to the demigods or in relation to our material body or in any way to this material world. Neither is it related to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. It is related directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore it is called Bhagavad Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Sat Dharma. So this Sat Dharma Pricha is very important. One should not approach great saintly persons to inquire about mundane topics. Rather, the choice of topic should be related to this Sat Dharma, the process of pure devotional service. So Vasudev very eagerly and submissively inquires from Narad Muni about Bhagavad Dharma. Please tell me about Bhagavad Dharma. And he laments a bit that he had performed austerities for obtaining Krishna, for obtaining the Lord as a son, but he had not performed austerities for the sake of going back to Godhead. So now he wants to make up for that. And he wants to inquire from Narad Muni, who is a Mahajan and a great authority on Bhagavad Dharma, to know more about how he can perfect his life. Of course, Vasudev and Devaki are eternal associates of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka in the spiritual world. So they are not ordinary sadhana siddha jivas or those jivas who attain perfection by practice of devotional service. They are eternally liberated souls. They are eternally mother and father of Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, because they have appeared within the human society, they are playing the roles of human beings. Therefore, they are setting the standard of proper behavior, sadachar, for us. That when we see there is a great saintly person in the vicinity, we must approach that person and submissively inquire. Narad Muni is very pleased by hearing this inquiry of Vasudev. And he happily begins to answer the question. And inasmuch as Vasudev has exhibited the proper behavior for a person who approaches a saintly person, Narad Muni is also demonstrating the ideal response of a saintly person who is thus approached by somebody with questions regarding Sadharma. Narad Muni does not give any speculative answers. He does not concoct his own theories. Rather, what he prefers to do is to cite another historical incident that happened many, many years previously. It is a conversation that happened between the 9 Yogendras on one hand and King Nimi on the other hand. And this conversation also was about the same topic of Bhagavad Dharma. King Nimi had approached the 9 Yogendras. And a very similar question was asked by him to the 9 Yogendras. So Narad Muni, he cites this entire conversation to Vasudev in answer to Vasudev's question. So this means that all the fundamental and important questions of life have actually been asked before and they have also been answered before. All we have to do is to look in the great scriptures and historical narrations of great saintly persons to know what those questions are and what the answers are. We even need to be very intelligent and knowledgeable to know what the worthwhile questions are to ask. Otherwise, there is no end to the number of questions that one may ask in this world. After all, as the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Santi Sahasrashah Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. There are numerous topics, innumerable, hundreds and hundreds of topics on which ordinary people of this world would like to immerse their minds. They want to hear about them, ask about them, talk about them. And in particular, such topics have nothing to do with Krishna or with spiritual life. And because they have no conception of spiritual life, they do not see a spiritual reality, therefore they absorb their minds in mundane conversations. And therefore they are called Grihamedhis, not Grihasthas. A Grihastha is the one in household life who serves Lord Krishna very sincerely and accepts Krishna consciousness as the goal of life. So therefore, Narad Muni understands that this is a very important topic and that these topics have been discussed before, and even though he is such an exalted authority on devotional service, he still cites other authorities like the nine Yogendras. And Srila Prabhupada at one time he likened this to lawyers in a courtroom arguing their case in front of a judge. And not only do the lawyers present the facts of the case, but they also cite what is called case history. Case history means that a similar point may have arisen in some legal case in the past, and it may have come before the court, and the court may have delivered a judgment in that regard. And the same point is appearing, perhaps in a slightly different form or maybe in the same form. So the lawyer cites this precedent. He says that, "My Lord," not Krishna but the judge, "My Lord, in such and such year, in such and such judgment, in the Supreme Court, in the case of so-and-so versus so-and-so, the Supreme Court had observed the same matter had come up, and the court had held such and such, and therefore my case is similar. So I pray that you please favorably judge my case, because this is the history, this is the evidence." So this is a standard procedure even in the material world, where we cite authorities and the decisions that they have taken in the past. So similarly, Narad Muni is citing this very important conversation between the nine Yogendras and King Nimi. Actually, the entire range of spiritual subjects, and especially the ones relating to pure devotional service, are more or less in the old great scriptures of India, the Vedic scriptures. They're mostly in the form of dialogues. Fundamentally, we know of Krishna and Arjuna's dialogue, the Bhagavad Gita, Suta Goswami's dialogue with the sages at Naimisharanya, Shukadev Goswami's dialogue with King Parikshit. The Upanishads, the Puranas, they're full of such dialogues which contain the essence of spiritual wisdom. Perfect questions, perfect answers. The nine Yogendras are very qualified saintly people. They are Paramahamsas. They are on the transcendental platform. They were the sons of King Rishabhdev. And you may all remember from the previous verses in this chapter that King Rishabhdev had 100 sons. The eldest son was King Bharat, after whom the earth planet actually came to be known as Bharatavarsha. Earlier it was known as Ajanabhavarsha or Ilavritavarsha. So the eldest was King Bharat, and after that there were 9 sons who were the 9 Yogendras. They became Paramahamsas. They renounced the world and were situated on the platform of pure devotional service. After that, there were another 9 sons who became Kshatriyas, and they ruled the different parts of this planet, the 9 places, the 9 Varshas, 9 Dvipas. So they took charge of each Dvipa, and King Bharat was overall in charge. So that is 19 sons, and the remaining 81 sons became Brahmanas. So this is how the different sons of King Rishabhdev performed their activities in their life. So the 9 Yogendras, they would travel everywhere, as the previous verses here indicate, without fear, only for one purpose, to instruct people about Krishna consciousness. This is actually the purpose of exalted souls like the 9 Yogendras. And because they are so selfless, because they have no ulterior personal motives, because they have not a trace of any material contamination in their heart, because they are always the well-wishers, truly, of all living entities, therefore there is no impediment to their access to any place or any planet in the world. They can travel at will through the skyways in any planet of the universe, as we have heard. And they were also welcomed in every planet. And we hear here Narad Muni describing that they went to the planets of the Kinnaras, the Devas, the Yakshas, the sages, the human beings, everyone, the Charanas. And at every planet that they went, they were welcomed heartily by the residents of that planet, and they were worshipped, and then they were asked questions, and the 9 Yogendras then spoke about devotional service, and this was their only job description. They didn't have any other work, and that is actually the most important work in the whole universe. And King Nimi, on his part, was also an ideal questioner. When we speak of perfect questions, perfect answers, it means that not only must the person giving the answers be perfect, but the person asking questions also must be perfect. Not in the sense that he has to be necessarily self-realized himself, but he must be very keen and sincere for in the path of self-realization. And he must accept this process of Saddharma Pricha very, very seriously. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. So when such a seriously inquisitive person approaches a great devotee of the Lord, he inquires pariprashnena. But that inquiry is not simply done in a challenging spirit. Sevaya, the person also renders service. So naturally, the questions that the person asks to the great saintly person is done in a very submissive spirit, in a spirit of seva or service. So therefore, a jigyasu shreya uttamam, this theme runs across the Vedic literatures. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. So the person who is keen to know about shreya uttamam, one's topmost welfare, who is jigyasu, who is very inquisitive about it, very keen to know about it, he must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta, and surrender to him. So King Nimi had this qualification. So he approached the 9 sages when they arrived. He was performing a sacrificial ceremony. But the moment the 9 Yogendras arrived, from our standpoint, in dramatic fashion from the skies, Of course, generally we do not have experience of personalities descending in our midst from the sky. Of course, sometimes people speak about unidentified flying objects and aliens, and such stories abound. But in the earlier days, such interplanetary travel and such so-called alien travel was very common. People from one planet would easily travel to other planets, and especially the saintly people, they did not need any visa or any passport or anything. They could freely travel anywhere. Actually, even to go to the heavenly planets, one required some punya. One required a large stock of pious activity. We all know the story of Trishanku, who wanted to go to the heavenly planets without acquiring the sufficient or the required stock of piety. And when he could not go, he beseeched Vishwamitra Muni to help him. And because Vishwamitra Muni had some ego at that stage of his spiritual development, so he by force, by dint of his austerities and the strength derived therefrom, he actually pushed Trishanku up. And when Indra saw that the person without the requisite qualification is approaching the heavenly planets, he said, that can't be. So he pushed him down, and Trishanku went down. And Vishwamitra said, how come this is happening? He pushed him back, and Indra pushed him down again. And Trishanku was then in between. And finally, Vishwamitra had to create a whole planet for him. He was so powerful, he could do that. So till today, this metaphor is used. If somebody is neither here nor there, we say he's like Trishanku. So there are various proverbs like this. So in any case, there was a restriction for people of the earth to travel to the higher planets even in the old days. But if you had the piety, you could go. As far as the nine Yogendras are concerned, they have the highest qualification because they're pure devotees of Krishna. They are Paramahamsas. So on every planet, they were welcomed heartily, and they blessed the residents of that planet with their association. So King Nimi, he approached the nine Yogendras in the midst of all the assembled brahmanas and sages who had gathered there for the sacrifice. And he didn't waste any time. Maybe just a few words of courtesy, not more than that. Because he knew that sages, they came and they went. They didn't stay for a long time. They didn't dilly-dally. It's not that they came to a place and then they sat for many, you know, there were long, long time. They just came for a few, for a short time. And the intelligent people knew that this was a short time available to them. They had to make the maximum use of it. So they would ask the questions and get to the point without beating around the bush. So King Nimi did the same thing. He began to ask questions. And he asked nine questions to them. And each question was in turn answered by each of the nine Yogendras. So the first question was answered by the first. Then he asked the next question that was answered by the second Yogendra. So this is sometimes also called the Jayanteya Gita. So this is a very nice conversation that is about to begin now. And these nine questions are very, very useful, very important questions. The questions by King Nimi to King Yogendra. Now, pertaining to the welcome that was accorded by King Nimi and his associates to the nine Yogendras, it is mentioned here in the purport that because the nine Yogendras were Narayana Parayanaha, as is mentioned in the verse, exalted devotees or associates of Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna, therefore they deserved a welcome or a treatment that was on par with the Supreme Lord Himself. The worship of the great devotees of the Lord is very pleasing to Krishna. In fact, it is more pleasing to Him than is worship of Himself. आराधनानां सर्वेषां विष्णोराराधनं परं तस्मात् परतरं देवी तदीयानां समर्चनम्. सो इन दिस वर्स फ्रॉम द पुराणस इट इज एक्सप्लेन्ड दैट द वर्शिप ऑफ सुप्रीम इज वेरी एक्सॉल्टेड. आराधनानां सर्वेषां विष्णुर आराधनं परम. अमंग ऑल द डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स ऑफ वर्शिप ऑफ द डिफरेंट डिविनिटीज द वर्शिप ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु और लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज द हाइएस्ट परम. बट हायर देन दैट इज द वर्शिप ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु ऑल्सो. तस्मात् परतरम देवी तदीयानां समर्चनम. So the archanam or the service, the complete service of those personalities who are tadiya, who are connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is even higher than the worship of the Lord Himself. The word tadiya in this connection is important. Tadiya implies a connection, a strong connection. So tadiya implies all things and all persons connected to Krishna, who are also worshipable for us. So when we say we worship Krishna, it means that we also worship all people and things connected to Krishna. So we worship the Vaishnavas, we worship Tulsi, we worship the Yamuna and the Ganga, we worship the holy abode of Krishna, Vrindavan Dham, we worship the cows which are very dear to Krishna. So this is all called Tadiya Seva. Not the dham so much is tadiya, but actually yes, that is also according to Prahlad Maharaj and the purport in the seventh canto, that is also part of tadiya seva, circumambulating the dham and so on. So King Nimi is doing is actually a very authorized thing. He is not exaggerating. He is not going beyond the bounds of normal etiquette. Actually, this is the etiquette, that great devotees have to be welcomed in this fashion and they have to be accorded the kind of respect that is accorded even to the Supreme Lord. Every morning in the Mangalarati we chant Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastrair, isn't it? We chant that the spiritual master, who is the exalted devotee of the Lord, it has to be seen on the platform of the Lord, not in the sense that ontologically he is the Lord, because he is priya eva tasya, because he is very dear to the Lord. Because of that intimate connection of that exalted devotee to Krishna, therefore that devotee becomes worshipable on the level of Krishna for the ordinary person, or even for a devotee. So sakshat dharitvena samasta shastra uktastatha bhavyata eva sadbhihi. So who says this? Samasta shastrair uktaha. So sakshat dharitva, that the spiritual master embodies the qualities of Krishna because he is very dear to Krishna, is a statement of samasta shastra, all the scriptures. All the scriptures, uktaha, they say this. Tat bhavyata eva sadbhihi. So the sat refers to the great devotees who are on the path of truth. Sadbhihi refers to the great devotees. Bhavyata means they accept. So the unity of identity of the exalted devotee spiritual master with Krishna is stated in the scriptures, and it is also accepted by the great devotees of the Lord. And this unity of identity, this oneness between the spiritual master and Krishna, is on the platform of the spiritual master being a great devotee and being very dear to Krishna. So this is the specific understanding. So the nine Yogendras, being such exalted devotees, definitely deserved the kind of worship that the nine Yogendras gave them. So, in the purport further it is mentioned here that King Nimi was overjoyed at the auspicious arrival of the sages. This is another indication to us about how we should feel when we see devotees. We should also feel very joyful to see devotees, even if we have had some difference of opinion with that devotee. Still, we should feel very happy to see devotees, because devotees are very, very rare. Mukta naam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. So as the Srimad Bhagavatam states that amongst millions and millions of siddhas, hardly one is liberated, and amongst many, many so-called liberated souls, there is one who is a Narayana Parayanaha, one who is completely devoted to Lord Narayan. And the same phrase is used here for the nine Yogendras as Narayana Parayana. So to see devotees in this world, and especially those who are sincerely trying to surrender their lives to Krishna, is extremely rare. So understanding the rarity of devotees in this world and our good fortune in being able to associate with them, we should overlook whatever little faults that we may see in them sometimes. And we should be happy to see them in any condition. And what to speak of if the visitors are very, very exalted. Furthermore, it is explained here in the purports that impersonalists, they do not understand this principle very properly about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Absolute Truth. They believe that the Supreme Absolute is only impersonal, that He has no personality, and they also believe that the ordinary living entity is equal to God. And therefore, they perform their practices with the idea to eventually become liberated from this illusion that they are not God, and to be situated in their constitutional position of being God, because they think their constitutional position is to be God. But that is not the fact. The fact is that this is a very offensive mentality. The truth is that the living entity is eternally a part and parcel of Krishna. Mama evamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So mama eva ansha. So the jiva bhutas, the living entities, are always part and parcel, sanatanaha. They are eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna never says that they are part and parcel of me only till they are liberated. And after they are liberated, they don't remain parts and parcels. He never says that. He uses the word sanatana, which indicates that the living entities are eternally part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Yenye ravani daksha vimuktamanina svayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha aruhya krichrena parampadam tatah patantyadho anadrita yushmadanghayaha. A very famous verse which describes the situation of those who falsely understand themselves to be equal to the Supreme Lord in every respect, and who think that the Supreme Lord is ultimately only impersonal, that He doesn't have a form, He doesn't have a personality. And because they deny the very existence of the personality of the Lord, they commit a grave offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. And because of this, even though they may perform very severe austerities for a long time, they are obliged to fall back again onto the material platform because of this great offense. Patanti adha, anadrita yushmadankrayaha. Patanti adha means they fall down. Anadrita means they don't offer respect. They offend. Yushmad angrayaha, because Brahma is praying to Krishna, so yushmad means yours, angrayaha means your lotus feet. So because these people, they deny your very existence, they are offenders at your lotus feet. And therefore they can never maintain their spiritual platform, they will always come down. So the Supreme Lord is eternally the Supreme Person. He has an impersonal aspect, as the Bhagavad Gita says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, which is the transcendental effulgence that emanates from His divine body. But that impersonal light is an emanation from the Lord's body. Although it is not wrong to say that the spiritual light is the Lord, but that is not the complete understanding. The complete understanding is to understand the Lord as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna. And there are many who think that actually the Lord is impersonal and somehow He manifests Himself within this material world in some form. He is originally Nirakar, but when He appears in this world, for our sake, He becomes Sakar, or He has a form. But actually He doesn't have a form. That is what they say. But that is not correct. And Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also explains this point. When He says, Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mamabuddhayaha param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. In chapter 7 He explains that there are those who believe that I was previously avyakta, unmanifest, impersonal. And from that avyaktam, that impersonal or unmanifest state, vyaktim apannam, I have now accepted the personal state. That my form emanates from the formless. Manyante mam abuddhayaha. This is believed by those who are abuddhayaha, not intelligent. Param bhavam ajanantaha, they don't understand my supreme situation. Mamavyayam anuttamam, of me who is imperishable, who is finer than the finest. So it is not that the Lord is originally impersonal and then He becomes personal. The Lord factually is originally personal, and He manifests Himself in so many unlimited variety of forms, and He also has His impersonal emanation. So the highest culmination of spiritual understanding is to surrender to the lotus feet of that one Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and render pure devotional service unto Him. Just as Vasudev understood this point and wanted to know more, Maharaj Nimi also understood this and therefore made such inquiries from the nine Yogendras. Similarly, all of us should try to follow in the footsteps of Vasudev and King Nimi, and also pay heed to these glorious discussions on the topic of Bhagavad Dharma that appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other related literatures. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Here he was getting a chance to serve the Lord personally and more closely, and by serving the Lord personally he was serving the whole creation rather than going to the back to Godhead. This way, by serving the Lord personally, otherwise also he is going to go to the Godhead afterwards. So why there was a need of lamentation there?
As I mentioned in the lecture, that Vasudev is an eternal associate of the Lord. He is eternally the father of the Lord in Dwarka and Mathura in the spiritual world. So in that sense, there is no need for him to lament. But because he is participating in the Lord's Leela, he is appearing here within human society, like an ordinary human being, just as Lord Krishna is doing. So he is doing what he is doing now to teach us. The activities of great souls are meant for our instruction. So when Vasudev is in this way lamenting that I prayed for a son, for the Lord to be my son, but I didn't pray that I should become delivered from material existence and go back to Godhead, he is teaching us that we should not pray to the Lord for anything material. We should pray to Krishna only for pure devotional service. So that is the message that he is conveying. That is the lesson that we can learn from this particular incident. Okay? Any other question? Yes.
There are a lot of people suffering, but when they get the association of devotees, they get relieved and they progress in the path of devotional service. So does the association of devotees, they getting the association of devotees, does it depend on past karma or something? Or
does the association of devotees depend on past karma? Well, it depends on how you define karma. If by karma we mean mundane activity, whether pious or sinful, then no. Association of devotees is not dependent on any material activity performed previously. Rather, it is dependent on spiritual activities or devotional activities performed previously, which is called bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Sukriti means meritorious acts. And bhaktyonmukhi means those meritorious acts that lead us to devotional service. Because there are other forms of meritorious or pious activities which may lead us to the path of jnana, to the path of yoga, to the path of karma, mundane pious activities. But the specific type of meritorious activities that one needs to have performed in order to receive the association of devotees is called bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Now, this bhaktyonmukhi sukriti also takes many lifetimes to accumulate, sufficiently enough that one becomes fortunate to get the association of devotees. And even after having received the association of devotees, one still needs that sufficient stock to be able to accept that association gainfully and to actually accept the process of devotional service from them. And over many lifetimes previously, those meritorious activities, that sukriti, bhaktyonmukhi sukriti, may even be unknowingly acquired. So that is called ajnata sukriti, unknowingly acquired devotional credits. Like, for example, someone says the name of Krishna. Somebody's name is Krishna. So Krishna come here, Krishna go there. Even without realizing it, without knowing it, even without having any faith in it, he's chanting Krishna's names. He takes some prasadam, or he hears the kirtan chanted by devotees somewhere on the street. So in this way, he acquires these credits, and it may accumulate for a long, 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 long time. And then by the mercy of the devotees, because the devotees are so keen to offer the mercy of Krishna to one and all, to everyone, indiscriminately, therefore by the Lord's arrangement, that person who is now ready to receive the association of devotees is made to meet the devotees. By the Lord's arrangement. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshara janatishtati brahmana sarva bhutanam yantra rudhani mayaya. So the Lord, seated as Paramatma, the super soul in the heart, directs the wanderings of everyone. So he makes that prospective devotee move or travel in such a way that he his path intersects with the path of devotees. And then he takes to the process of devotional service. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj. Maharaj Bharat Bhagwan ke priya bhakta thi. Rishabh Dev ke sabse bade putra thi. और उनके पास बहुत सारा एपुलेंस था, बहुत सारा ये होने के नाते उन्होंने ये सब छोड़ छाड़ के जब गंडकी नदी के पास गए, और जब मतलब प्योर डिवोटीज होते हुए भी कि उन्होंने हरण के बछड़े के प्रति अटैचमेंट हो गया, और लास्ट मोमेंट में जब शरीर छोड़ा उस समय में हरण का मतलब उनको जन्म लेना पड़ा, तो हम लोग जो है कि भरत महाराज के जैसे तो प्योर डिवोटीज है ही नहीं. हमारा तो हर क्षण में भगवान कहते हैं अंत काले चमामेव, लेकिन अंत काले तो हमारा तो पूरा जो हमने जो कर्म किया है, जो हमारा प्रॉपर्टी, जो कहीं हमारा मटेरियल अटैचमेंट है उसके प्रति हमारा ज्यादा है. तो क्या प्रभुपाद जी बोलते हैं कि आप अगर हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र करेंगे, भगवान कहते हैं कौंतेय प्रति जानती, तो कैसा हम विश्वास करेंगे कि हम मतलब भगवत धाम जा सकते हैं?
The question is that when great devotees like Bharat Maharaj could have some spell of forgetfulness or they could fall, what to speak of us ordinary devotees? How can we have faith that we can go back to Godhead? That is what faith is all about. Faith means to accept as truth what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and in the other scriptures, and to accept the words of the great acharyas. So the scriptures and the acharyas tell us, just keep doing devotional service, you will get elevated step by step, and you will come to a stage where you will be qualified to go back to Godhead by the mercy of the great devotees and of the Supreme Lord. So we should just bide our time. We should just keep serving the Supreme Lord and His devotees as sincerely as possible, follow the instructions as well as we can, and keep doing it. The rest is in Krishna's hands. We need not worry, how will I go? That is Krishna's problem. Taking us back to Godhead is Krishna's problem. But serving Krishna in such a way that Krishna will take notice of us and say, oh, here is a candidate, I must take this person back. That is our business. So we have to serve Krishna in such a way that He will be pleased with us. Then the rest is Krishna's business, and He will take us back when He thinks the time is right. Okay? All right. Okay, one last question, yes. Mic, please, over there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the wonderful class. You mentioned that the Navayog Indras, they repeated, like Narad Muni repeated the message of the Navayog Indras. So, like for us to repeat as it is, so there could be two modes. One is a ritualistic parrot-like repetition, or a devotional remembrance, like repeating in that way, in the form of a devotional remembrance. But in our case, like the devotional remembrance is not there. So it is mostly like a parrot-like repetition, which doesn't is not very appealing. So in our case, what should be our mood in terms of repeating the message as it is?
Repeating the message verbatim may not be possible ad hoc or just off the cuff, because we may not remember exactly all the words. We are not Shruti Dhara in this age. where we can remember everything that we hear once. So, where in doubt, we can actually take up the book and read that particular portion of the verse or the purport. And in that way, we are repeating what we say, what the great acharyas say, or what the scriptures say. And in other cases, we can give a paraphrasing of that knowledge in our own words, but without changing the content, without changing the meaning or the purpose of the statements of the scriptures. Occasionally, to the degree that we may remember, we may cite or we may quote. But when we can't remember the exact words, and it's not always possible to remember everything, so we just cite the essence of it. We cite or we narrate the proper meaning of it. And we narrate it with a devotional spirit. So yes, both things have to be there together. And even if we do not have the level of realization that is there, but if we are repeating it in a submissive and devotional mood, then that will have its benefit on us as well as on those who are listening to us. Okay? Alright, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. God Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.